everybody, and welcome back here to the Atlanta Falcons Germany YouTube channel and podcast channel here right from Berlin. My name is Alex Santos. I'm one of the hosts of our new project, of our new road to the Berlin game. The Falcons come to Berlin, and therefore we start a new project to cover everything beside the Falcons team. We wish to bring you stories, the vibes, the culture of Atlanta meets Berlin, so of Atlanta and Berlin, and therefore, here again, the very famous Lisa from Atlanta.
Okay, hey everybody. Greetings from the ATL. It's great to be back for episode 2. It's been a couple of weeks, and we have a lot of info to share with y'all.
Perfect set, Lisa. Thank you that you take your time again with me and for the German fans, of course, to cover some information from Atlanta. There was about 2 weeks, I think. Mm-hmm. So, but no problem. Just recapping a little bit the first episode. How was it for you? How was the reaction in Atlanta? Did your phone was ringing all the time, or what happened?
I mean, people are really excited. They think it's a cool idea, you know, now that we officially have a Berlin game, that, you know, the two fan bases can connect this way leading up to the game. So we have several months to continue to engage. And, you know, I really think that at least on the Atlanta side, the information that you provided has been specifically informative for the fans here that will be making the trip.
Perfect. We built this website. Yeah, we will go to this website a little bit later because we have something new on the website for everyone there outside to just bookmark something. You will see. This is perfect. On the other hand, we got a lot of information from your side, from Atlanta. Today we will cover some historical things more. Yeah, just to bring a little bit this part inside here today. And let us start with something we will say now forgot last time, because on the fan cruises you wars on the ship, we had some videos from the stars like Harry Douglas, for example, or Dave Archer. Mm-hmm. But one person we missed, and we have to bring it right now just to show everyone how excited also the veterans are. And let me now find it. Just a second, please. Where's the video? Here we have a message to the German fans. Yeah, to the German fans, from Alan Russom, former Falcons player, more a special teamer, I would say. He plays cornerback, defensive mm-hmm. back, but he was more the special team kick return, punt return guy. But he has a very, very cool message for you. Just enjoy for this first right now.
Okay.
What's your mama name? No joke.
1, 2, 3.
Yo,
go.
This is Alan Russom, NFL vet, 12 years, former NFL Falcon. I want to give a shout out to all the Falcon fans that's heading over to Germany. I know our team is getting ready to go over there and do their thing. So, what do? We rise up. We show up and we rise up. There is no such thing as someone out cheering us. That is going to be our home field. Whether it's somebody else, it's the coach's home field or not, we taking over. So I need you to show up and show out. Get ready. 3, 2, 1. Two up.
Eight down, down, baby.
There we go.
I must say, I mean, you know, it's been, you know, about a month since the inaugural Falcons fan cruise. That was such a blast, man. I mean, just as you saw on the beach, you know, with Falcons legends, you know, we're on vacation, but the Falcons is the common denominator, right? So we, you know, talk all things Falcons, and it was such a cool vibe. And, you know, they're excited for the German game, for real.
You can feel it. You can feel it. I mean, how cool he was.
No doubt.
On this message.
He was a lot of fun.
And he is still cool. Hopefully he will join us in Berlin too. I don't know. Harry Douglas said it. He will come. Maybe Alan will come too. Very cool, very cool vibe. And how he said, we taking over. I mean, we knew that we will be the away team.
Yeah,
but with everyone, it's okay. But with everyone I talk here from companies or other organizations who ask me about what is football, what is the NFL, and I talk to them and try to bring this football Falcons wiped to this discussion. I said, don't worry. When the Falcons come, when the fans come from Atlanta, the Colts don't have the feeling of a home game.
Oh yeah, no.
This is red and black. Yeah, and the whole city hopefully will join us and will feel the Falcons are here. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it. Perfect. Perfect, perfect, perfect. In this matter, we have one other shout out. It was a little bit, some months earlier, but we don't want you to miss this out because it's a legend. All the Falcons veterans are legends somehow, but this guy is for me.
This one is especially, one of your favorites. So,
Look at here. Look at here.
I love it. I love
this
it.
This is my
Dirty Bird. Mr. Dirty Bird.
Who else? Who it could be. So let us listen to him. It was last year, I think. Yeah, in the team store. Was it last year? Yeah, it should be last year.
I can't remember. I mean, the years are running together. Well, within the last 2 years. So yeah.
I think it was last year, and he had a special message right to me. Yeah, you covered this, so thank you, Lisa, for that. And just a short listen to Jamal Anderson, and then we jump into the next topic.
Alessantos, what's up, man? It's Jamal Anderson. Shout out to Atlanta Falcons, Germany. Shout out to all of our fans in Germany and all over Europe. We're coming to see you guys this year, and I'm excited about it. I got you on the jersey for whatever you need, my guy. Appreciate your support. All the love.
Hey!
I love him.
Mr. Dirty Bird, Jamal Anderson.
Mr. Dirty Bird, Jamal Anderson, and it's a kind of a running gag for us now, but it's not a gag. It's very serious. Yeah, bring Jamal to Berlin.
Bring Jamal to Berlin. So,
Mr. Arthur Blank, Mr. Greg Beatles, and whoever is responsible in this organization, bring Jamal to Berlin. Hashtag bring Jamal to Berlin.
Yeah, he's a vibe on his own, you know. He is very, he engages a lot with the fans. And as I mentioned on the first episode, like Harry Douglas, loves to dance. So yeah, Jamal is vibes for sure.
I mean, we should have on a Friday maybe or Saturday prior to the game, we should have a meeting and somehow a dance lesson.
Right,
Jamal could show to everyone how to do the Dirty Bird dance.
He literally has, like, previously, I believe on Twitter, he literally had the step by step instructions. Yeah. Like, don't mess this up. You know, there have been a couple of newer Falcons players that don't quite have it right. So, I won't name any names, but yeah, there are step-by-step instructions that Jamal has put out so that people can properly do the Dirty Bird.
They have to rebirth this movement. I mean, why they don't do this after a touchdown? And I forgot to ask Bijan, this question. Why you don't do the Dirty Bird dance? I mean, he could do this.
Yeah. Yep.
You remember Calais Campbell did the Dirty Bird dance after his...
Now he would do it any... he loved to do the Dirty Bird.
I think it was the 100th sec he did, and then he started dancing.
Yep, he sure did. He did it a lot, to be honest. That was one of, the fun things that... Because that's like a signature move for the Falcons, right? And I mean, it's historic. And I hate to say it, when other teams score on us, some of their players try to do it, which I hate. Nah. Like Deion Sanders said, don't do another man's dance. Get your own dang dance, right? Yeah. But yeah, I mean, everybody knows what time it is with the Dirty Birds.
They try to copy, but the copy is never so good like the original. So
never.
Sorry. Yeah, it's how it is. Okay, fine. This topic we will grab in another episode about other teams and other fan bases. So it will come to a discussion for this topic for sure. But today we go a little bit more historical. And we had a very famous and important day on the June of 19th in the United States, and especially in Georgia and Atlanta. So you're wearing something, what you will show us, and you can maybe tell us a little bit about this special, and it's a public holiday, isn't it?
Yeah. So just some background, as everybody should know, there is a very sad and disturbing part of American history, which includes the enslavement of millions of Africans. So a lot of people to this day don't like to talk about it or even acknowledge it, but it did happen. And, in recognition of freeing the slaves and the recognition of the contributions Africans and African Americans have made to this country. Let me go back a little bit. So President Abraham Lincoln signed what was called the Emancipation Proclamation, and that was done in January of 1863. So that was to free all of the slaves that were in the Confederate States. However, not everybody freed their slaves. At that point, slavery had become so ingrained in the economy and the infrastructure of America. The state of Texas, those slave owners did not recognize or free their slaves. So it was about a year and a half later, on June 19th, that Texas, then, an American general, General Granger, went to Texas and basically then had the Texas slaves freed. So that day is called Juneteenth, and it's basically the combination of June and 19th, the day that the remaining, not remaining slaves, but because you've got to remember, they basically worked a year and a half after the Emancipation Proclamation had been declared. So all of that to say, and I've had this shirt from the Falcons, this Juneteenth t-shirt, a couple of seasons now. The Falcons are, I would say, not all NFL franchises recognize Juneteenth for whatever reason. So I won't get into that. I'm just thankful as an African-American that the team that I rep does. So the Falcons do various things throughout or each year to acknowledge and recognize Juneteenth. So again, this was a t-shirt that they made. Every year they'll, put out a Juneteenth tweet or something on their socials to acknowledge this day of celebration. So, again, not all NFL franchises do it. I won't, worry about them, but shout out to Arthur Blank and the Falcons for doing it. Yeah.
Wow. Well, I found it here. Let me show this, just shortly. Here's the, what is it? Is it on Facebook? I think it's on Facebook. The posting. Yeah. It's, right fresh, the latest one, and the Falcons covering this, remember to this day, very very nice and a lovely gesture to remember to this. How you said it the Americans have this kind of history and they don't like to talk about. I mean, in Germany, we have also a really bad time span of doing bad things to other people. And there's also for groups something, and how can I explain it? There was often, I remember when they talk about this time, they try to whisper and don't to be as this loud. But I can tell you that the Germans do a lot of remembering this and will always try to teach the youth and the next generation. We did bad things, but we have to learn from the history. And hopefully with this kind of remembering also in the States, this will never, ever happen again, because we don't have to talk about slavery. It's something not to have. Point.
Right.
Yeah. So this was public holiday last week. And we can maybe comparing this to the German side. Yeah, I try to find not public holidays, but maybe days where we are remembering something like that. And there came two big things in mind for me. It's not, you cannot comparing this because we don't had this kind of slavery history. So, but when you try to comparing this, we have two big days. The one, it's the 8th of May, 1945, the end of the World War II, the end of the Nazi regime here in Germany. This you could compare this, and after that, for those who maybe don't are so into the German history, they started after the World War II. They divided Germany in two big sectors: the Soviet part, the East Germany, the GDR, the German Democratic Republic, and don't trap to the word democratic because it was not democratic, and then the West part, the West Germany part, where the other alliances who won the World War II, France, UK, and the United States are separated Germany in three parts, and also they did with the capital, with Berlin. Mm-hmm. And in 1961, the East side, the East Germany, and the communism system covering by the Soviets then, they built a wall around Berlin and around the East Germany for covering or holding the people inside the country and inside the city, because the young people are, or the older people are leaving East Germany. Yeah, I can remember my grandfather had a little bit outside from Berlin. He lives a little bit outside in Brandenburg, and he comes back after the World War II. In 1984, my father was born. And in 1951, they leave this Soviet sector to West Berlin because they had listening and seeing what the Soviet regime did in this area. So the people are leaving the country because they don't want to live over there, and they build this war. And now it's a very how we say coincidence, a very big coincidence, because on 1989 the wall was falling, and this was on the 9th of November. And now when you maybe remember when you bought your ticket, and you look at your ticket, the game is exactly on the 9th of November, where Germany is remembering also the falling of the wall. So you come to Berlin to watch a very nice, happy, nice game. But on this day, we had a big, big history.
Yeah.
In Berlin, even in Berlin, with the fall of the wall.
Yeah.
So, this is
That is so historic. And I remember, you know, watching the fall of the wall, and I was just like, wow.
Yeah.
Watching it as an American. Wow. And yeah, now that our game is going to be there. So, yeah. So, definitely beyond football, there's so many things about the history of the city Berlin and also the country Germany that I want to explore while I'm there.
Yeah. And just to jump on this, you said I was 12, I think 12 or 13 mm-hmm. years mm-hmm. When the wall was falling. And yeah. I remember I was sitting with my mom at home and we watched television, and then the breaking news, the wall is falling and everyone is going to the wall and try to jump on. Yeah. And we're sitting there and was like, what? Because you could feel as a young guy, you could feel, even if you didn't had any idea of politics and all these things, but this Cold War, how you can explain it in English now, this Cold War situation you had, yeah, mm-hmm. and it was this time of what happened with the Soviets, what happened with the United States, they're making war, they're making not war, whatever, and you could feel it in Berlin very, yeah. very well because of this situation of the wall and everything, right. So and then the wall was falling, and we're sitting like there, and we said okay, we have to cheer now, we have to drink something, and we had now no champagne or nothing, and we take sparkling water, yeah, and just cheers and said, okay, yeah, the wall is falling, and what a great historic moment, yeah. I can really remember this was a milestone moment for us in Berlin.
No doubt about it. And I also, just real quick, let me hop back to Juneteenth because I want to make sure I make this point. Juneteenth just became a federal holiday in 2021. So this is, okay. again, when I talked about America not really wanting to acknowledge and recognize this ugly history that, you know, still, you know, prevails, you know, in different ways in American culture. So you're just talking a few years ago that the government of this country was just like, yeah, we should at least acknowledge that this happened, right? And the state of Georgia, if I'm correct on my years, it became a state holiday just in 2022. So you're talking 3 years ago, right? Wow. And so so you're talking a long time of people fighting for acknowledgement that America, this happened, you know, you were a part of it, you know, not only America and Africa are forever changed, the world is forever changed where the colonization happened, right? You know, Caribbean, you know, Africans were dropped off in different countries. So, you know, Brazil, of course, the Caribbean. So, you know, who knows what the world would have been like had colonization not happened, but, you know, it is what it is because it did happen. Definitely did.
Okay, wow, I didn't know this. Very interesting, and so good that now you have it. I mean, a little bit late. It sounds a little bit late, but
a lot late. But happens. Yeah.
But it happens.
And so for us, it's a celebration. It's a celebration of freedom. You know, there are all kinds of events, cultural, you know, between picnics and food and expressions of art, whether it's dance or theater. So it's really, you know, for us to be a day of celebration. And I will say, you know, when the Falcons and any other entity, whether sports or not sports, there are always people that come on those posts and say they'll never celebrate Juneteenth. So again, it's not something that everybody chooses to acknowledge and celebrate.
And to be aware of. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, very, very interesting. let's jump just shortly back to Berlin. I have some pictures. No, sorry. But I see the pictures here. I forgot to show you while I'm telling you. Mm-hmm. Because for everyone who is for the first time in Berlin, and maybe some of the Germans coming first time to Berlin. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm sitting here. This is my hometown. But from all over the German-speaking area, they're coming Falcons fans. I mean, we have one guy in Norway. Yeah, we have guys and girls in Switzerland and in Austria where we're talking also German. Yeah, so from all over the places, they will come and will join here, Berlin, the community, the Falcons fans from Atlanta. So this will be a very, very fun and big, big party. And just to show you... The most iconic, one of the most iconic point of interest, how we said here in Berlin, the Brandenburg Gate. Yeah, where Jamal, I always will say Jamal, where Bijan, the Bijan event was.
Yeah, he took pictures there. Right.
Yeah, of course. And when you you can now walk through the Brandenburg Gate, and until 1989, there was no possibility because it looks like this. Look at this picture. Oh, yeah. It's quite the same position. Yeah, but you see this graffiti wall here down. Yeah, you can see it, and that's it. It was a dead, you can say it, a dead part of this historical site of Berlin in the middle of the city. Yeah, I mean the Brandenburg Gate. It's the center, yeah. When you go to the left side, you will come to the Reichstag where the parliament is sitting. When you look at the left corner, this ball, you can see this tower on the left side.
I see it.
This is the TV tower, the tallest building in Berlin, 326 meters. Well, I don't know in yards. It's taller than.
We get it. It's tall. It's okay.
It's tall. it's taller than Kelly's Temple. Yeah.
We get it.
It's really tall. I don't know. I have to transform it now in yards. And when you look through the middle of the Brandenburg Gate, you can see the Parliament of Berlin sitting in this red
so
building.
Is this downtown Berlin? Like what? You said the middle of the city, but like what, you know, as a tourist.
It's a tourist. You can say it's downtown. Yeah. I mean, for me, and this is quite funny. I mean, the wall is falling in 98. Yeah. On 1990, the 3rd October, this is a public holiday. They're celebrating the reunion. So this the 89 falling of the wall, it's not a public holiday, but the reunion from the two states from east and west Germany is the 3rd October on the 1919th. So even it's about 35 years before it was 35 years ago, I still talk about west and east side. It's very very cringe and strange, but you have this kind of talking here from the older generation. Mm-hmm. They talk like that. Mm-hmm. And right. I can tell you, there are citizens on both sides of the city. They will tell you when you say, "Oh, let's go, let's have a lunch." I don't know at the Brandenburg Gate restaurant. I don't know ABC, and they will say, "No, I don't go to the east side." They will have still. It's not kind of bad thing, but they say, "Oh no, I don't go to the east side." And from the east side, they will say, "Oh no, I don't go to the west side." It's very strange. I mean, it's one city, but you have the separation still in the head of the people. And you can ask the talk up people when we talk about other guys from the community. Yeah, I always say. Where in West Germany is this town? And I say West Germany because I used to use this kind of language. It's very strange, and I can beat myself. But after so long time, you're just talking like that. It's very heavy, and I try to to be better in this. But
see, that just goes to show when people were like, that happened, you know, centuries ago. But, you know, hatred and racism is passed down through generations. You know what I mean? So just because it happened however long ago, like you said, you are not even consciously, you know, making the distinction, but you're making the distinction between East and West Germany.
Yeah. And it's not because I will do it on the bad way. I mean, often I say, listen, I'm from the West side and my downtown, I say now, that's why I tell you this. My downtown is here in the West City.
Oh,
my downtown.
But
the Berlin downtown is in the middle. So very strange. Asking someone more east, east,
yeah,
he will say, my downtown, it's over there. So
I got
This is a kind of the vibe for the older generation. Yes. For the younger people, my kids don't know about this. My kids don't talk about east or west side. We will go to the Brandenburg Gate. We will go to have fun at somewhere. We will go there. It's Berlin.
Yes, finished. Right.
For us, it's something.
Yeah,
something strange. But look at here. The day after the 9th of November, what the people did. Yeah, they're running to the wall and they jump on the wall. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and have this party and. Then they start to crack out small bricks, stones.
Yeah, that's what I remember saying. Yeah,
yeah, they go chick, like that, yeah, and try to get one souvenir at home. And they get political correct and not harming someone, but there were some clever and smart businessmen. They give you some kind of glass boxes and sell you a piece of the wall.
Right.
And stone.
How much were people paying for a piece?
Wait. It was not the original one. It was a stone with a graffiti thing.
Oh,
and they sell it for 50 bucks. Yeah, so... Be honest, come on. Okay. I don't know how much it was, and I don't know if I have one of the pieces. I was there. I took a small pieces, but I don't know where it is. So I cannot show you. Yeah, but this was the big celebration. Yeah, and look at now when you going to the Brandenburg Gate, just pay attention to the street. Because look at here, you see this two rows of the bricks, who's crossing this white lines. This is the original standing of the wall on the street
the whole city. Wait, so it's embedded into the street? It's embedded?
Okay. So when you are in the middle of the city, you will see this bricks. All the time.
You can
go and can now exactly know here's the west side, here's the east side. You see it. Yeah? Okay. And I read a tweet some weeks ago. I didn't find it. I wanted to show you. I think it was an American post from an American guy. He said, look at Germany, look at the Berlin citizens. They have everywhere in the city points where they describing and teaching you about the history they had, about this bad history as well, but about all the history. So when you go through the city, you found a lot of walls and stones and descriptions, and it's really, really, really interesting. Yeah, I was thinking, because my roots, my mom come from Greece, that when you go to Athens, the Greek Athens, not the Georgia Athens. Yeah, this is this is a copy.
Right,
this is a copy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, it's very, very fine. Athens is a museum because they try to build the metro stations, and they took years because every yard they go further, they found stones and they had to stop because it is something ancient. So, but here in Berlin, it's quite the same. Yeah, in the middle of the city at Brandenburg Gate, you find a lot of history. So, if you are here and you are some days prior to the game, mm-hmm. take some time and go to the middle of to the city, and then you have to. And now we show you something we did as a service for you. Look at our website. Just a second.
Okay.
Let's go. There is it. So this is the article on our website, AtlantaFalconsGermany.com. Yeah, and when you go to blog here over there, mm-hmm. You find one of the first ones here. This article: Atlanta Falcons take over Berlin. Your ultimate fan guide for the NFL game 2025. Then you can scroll a little bit down, get some information. We talk about the last time. This section we will come right after this, Lisa. You remember? And then look at here. You can go down to the part. Berlin City specific. No, sorry, I'm wrong. No, yeah. In this section, after Berlin City specific information, you found this red marked link, and this is your go-to guy now for the trip to Berlin. You click on it, mm-hmm. and then you come to the Google Maps, and I marked every point of interest from the website here in Google Maps, and you just go here to save, and you have everything you need. And I put some descriptions here in English as well, so you can find everything. You see the marking on the right side. Yeah, here's the Olympic Stadium, for example. So can you see what happened here? Telto. Nobody wants to go to Telto. Here, look on the left side. There's the Olympic Stadium. It's mm-hmm. far, far away from the city.
Okay. Yeah?
So just to get you there.
Good to know.
Here's for example your hotel, Leonardo. Mm. The Leonardo. Yes. Just as information for the Falcons fans from Atlanta or outside of Germany, the most fans are in this hotel. Yeah, I think there are 30 to 35 bookings right now in this hotel. So the Falcons take over Leonardo Hotel. Yeah, and put this hotel in red and black. Yeah, so if you like to go there with the other fans, you can go there. Here's some recommendation in the city west for my city downtown. Yeah, it's more in this area here. Yeah, here's a famous shopping mall, the one of the biggest in Europe. Yeah, the KDV, and here, for example, is the Brandenburg Gate.
Okay. Yeah. Good to know. Yeah, I'm definitely going to have to kind of, you know, once I finalize my travel plans, I definitely want to do, you know, some historical things before the game. So that's why I am planning to come in a few days before the weekend, you know, because the weekend is going to be all Falcons, right? So I want to do some things prior to that so I can really explore the city.
Yeah. Very good, very good. So I will update this time by time. Yeah, but there you will find the biggest things you need. Look at here. We're talking about the mall. Here's the East Side Gallery. This is, you can see it. Hopefully, this is
yes.
they leave the wall there as a museum. Yeah, mm-hmm. as a free museum. You can go there and. Having a feel for the height and the big mm-hmm. The measurement of the wall. So this is a little bit more to the east. Yeah, here's the Brandenburg Gate. Mm-hmm. No, sorry. Here was the Brandenburg Gate, and a little bit more east is here the East Side Gallery. Yeah.
Love it. You know, we want to get some shopping in for sure.
Yeah, of course. You should. Okay. That was the service tweet here. And now we have a new part of our episode here of our podcast. Yeah. Lisa learns German. So tell me, please, what you told me yesterday. What is your idea before we start to learn some new words?
Okay, so yes, my I think it's important when, you know, we as Americans go to other parts of the world, that the expectation isn't that when we visit that everybody that we're visiting knows English. So my plan is to, and I'm still working it out, figuring it out on my side, but I want to learn some German formally. So whether I, you know, take a class at the university or use an app, or I actually have a good friend, her husband speaks German. And so she referred me to like this German Institute here in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. So I just got to figure out how I'm going to do it, but I am going to do it. Now, granted, you know, most classes that I've looked at don't start until like late August. So I would only maybe get in a couple of months of formal instruction, but I still think it's important. And I think about Alex Santos and all his crew of friends, they're all, you know, fluent in English. So they took the time to learn another language. So I want to, although I know it won't be, you know, I won't be fluent in two and a half months, but at least to learn some, you know, to get an introduction to the language. And I know this won't be the Falcons, you know, last game in Germany, right? So I do expect to visit. So maybe by the next time, and hopefully next time we'll be the home team for real, you know, I would have improved my German to where I can really speak it and communicate with the German fans. So that's just a personal goal for myself. And I think, you know, I think it's fun. I love to travel. And again, I think the way to truly show respect is to, I think people appreciate when you at least attempt to speak their language and not always expecting them to know English. So, yeah.
Wow. Wow, 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 Lisa. This is so nice. I mean, yeah. I can tell you when you go to the downtown of Berlin, mm-hmm. You need to talk English also like a German one, because the city is full of tourists,
yeah.
And even in the bars and in the shops, they're talking English. So it's quite funny, yeah, because I talked to a new Berlin citizen yesterday, and I asked him, hey, how's your English? And he said, it's okay, but I understand. And I said, okay, when you go to Brandenburg Gate or whatever, yeah, you need to, because no one is speaking German there. But okay, on this side, you are fine with with English. But we appreciate it when you and maybe somewhere else try to get at least some phrases or some sentences in German. Mm-hmm. This is, I think this should be the normal thing you can have. You go somewhere else, you try.
Yeah, you try, right. And I, you know, I have been to Europe before. I've been to France, and I did take French in high school. So I did have a little bit more formal training in French. And again, it wasn't great. But at least, you know, they I could tell that they respected the attempt, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I can sit, and even all these years later, I can still get by with some very, you know, elementary French, but I don't have any experience with the German language. So this will be completely new. And I'm excited. I mean, I love to learn. I love to travel. So this will be like a cool addition to, you know, I mean, and that's the thing about it, you know. I never honestly really thought about vacationing in Germany, right? It's just not something, I don't really know any people that have done it. The people that I know that have been to Germany are usually people that have served in the military. But that's different, you know what I'm saying? But to actually vacation there, and all, it's all because of the Falcons, right? You know what I'm saying? So I think that's cool that Atlanta meets Berlin for a reason, and that reason is the Falcons, and I want to really just have an authentic experience, right? So I think it's going to be so fun.
Perfect. Perfect. And we will start with the first. Oh, we already started last time. Do you remember your word? you said?
No.
No.
I didn't show it to
you. You didn't do your homework.
No. I was traveling, so no. Okay.
That's okay. I'm just kidding. Let us go to our blocking article, because
remember,
there...
make it bigger so I can see.
Yeah. Just a second. We have the part language and communication in Germany. And now I do it a little bit bigger. Yes, now it's fine. Last time we talked about Entschuldigung. Can you repeat it, please? Here's the, how you spell it. Or how you
Entschuldigung.
Entschuldigung. Wow, perfect. This is perfect. And now we go to Bitte und Danke. Look at here, when you say please, yeah, the German word is bitte. Look at here.
Yes. Bitte.
Bitte. Whoa. Accent free. And look at here. Thank you. Thank you is in German danke. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Danke. I've heard that one before. Danke.
Yeah. Danke. Perfect. Very, very easy. So your homework is Entschuldigung, bitte und danke. Yeah. Next time I will ask you. I will ask you, and we will see if you learn your lesson.
Oh,
but let me do another fun part right now, because how I said, I have Greek roots, and we always play the game. Maybe you do this too, in the United States, or you think about when you can speak two languages, mm-hmm. Then you try to bring the phrases from one language into another language, or differently. You can translate it, what it meant, but the joke is to translate it word by word, what will not making sense right in your language. So now I will bring you, and we don't try this. You don't know what will come right now. I will give you a German sentence, and we will try to figure out what's the English meaning. And I make some research, and I try to get also the South English speak style. So I hope I will hit the right meaning, but we will see if we mess up right now, or we hit the right thing. So okay. let me bring a really, really German phrase, and everyone from the German side now will laughing, hopefully. Yeah, it's the phrase, das ist nicht das Gelbe vom Ei. Yeah, this is the German sentence. When I translate this in English, is that is not the yellow from the egg. We in Germany say, this is not the yellow from the egg. So what in hell can we mean when we say this is not the yellow from the egg? What do you think?
The closest, just based on that context, I would say, is it comparable to us saying this is not how it goes, or this is not how we do it?
No, exactly. Not exactly. It goes in the right direction. Let me tell you what I found out. I found two phrases in English. Ain't all that, or the dog don't hunt. Is it something you say?
Oh, that's interesting. The dog don't hunt.
Yeah? Is it something you say in English? Yeah.
You know, in sports, a lot of times you'll hear the word, this player got some dog in them, meaning that they got, you know, they're competitive, they'll go all out. Basically, if you say this dog don't hunt, it's like this dog... not worth anything. Like this dog.
It's not worth. Yeah. Exactly. When you say this is not the yellow from the egg, it's not worth. Yeah. So
well,
you
right,
can.
I was low key on the right track. Like this not working. This not it. You know what I said?
I say
it. It was a little in the arena. A little bit
in the arena. In the arena. Okay. Okay. I have a second one. I have a second one. Maybe you hit this now. I say it in German. Ich glaube, ich spinne. Yeah, this is the German sentence. Ich glaube, ich spinne. Yeah, I believe I'm spinning.
Okay, so I would say that means I'm tripping out. like something has me like, you know, just tripping out.
Tripping out? How about you kidding me right now?
Oh, I believe I'm so you're kidding me. So yeah. That's why I'm spinning.
Yeah. I can tell you why. It's a German phrase. It's a German phrase. Ich glaube, ich spinne. And this is not the yellow from the egg. Yeah. Very typical German phrases. So you have three words, two phrases. Next week, the exams.
Like that. That's fun. I'm with it.
Okay. We will bring you some new phrases for the next episode. So this is the right time now for you at the audience to hit the like button here and to subscribe, please. When you hear or listen to the podcast as well, you can follow us or whatever it takes to not missing the next episode, because we will have some more for sure. And you will don't miss how Lisa learned German. So we now have the podcast in English. At the end, prior to the game, we will have the podcast in German. So this is now a mission.
So you're raising the bar each episode. The standard goes up. Course. I got you.
Of course. Yeah, perfect. Very good. So bring us back or let us go a little bit back to our program and to a trip you had this passing weekend.
Yeah.
That's why we didn't record the second episode, because you was not in Atlanta.
No.
Where was you going?
I went to a sports event for fans. It was called the Fanatics Fest, and it was in New York City. And so they had all, you know, their major sports, football, basketball. Yes, Fanatics. That's who hosted it. Football, basketball, baseball, soccer, wrestling, pretty much any and everything. The UFC. Honestly, this is the second year that Fanatics has hosted this event. I didn't really know what to expect. It was like a sports fan's heaven. It almost was just like too much, because, you know, it was held at a convention center. The convention center is huge. I literally walked the equivalent of 6.5 miles the first day. The thing is, you know, they have that's me repping Juneteenth. New York. Yeah, New York is New York. If you guys have never been, I mean, obviously one of America's biggest, most well-known cities. But as a sports fan, it was just like, you know, no matter what the sport, you know, there were professional athletes, celebrities walking around. It was just amazing. And I will say the primary reason why I went was because Michael Vick was in attendance.
This is not Michael Vick. It's just to show you.
Right. That's not Michael Vick. But saw so many Michael Vick jerseys. He did autographs and photo ops for the fans. And so that is really why I went. But beyond Michael Vick, it was just an amazing event. And the thing is, like, for instance, LeBron James. I went to a panel for LeBron James talking about, you know, he does a podcast as well with Steve Nash. So they were doing a live taping of their podcast. So LeBron was there. Kevin Durant was there. Football, OBJ, Odell Beckham was there. It was just so many athletes of, you know, so many different sports. And the thing is, they have like panels and shows that are taking place at the same time. So one thing I learned, you get the schedule, you have to decide what you want to attend and be okay with knowing that as great as the event that you are attending, you're also going to be missing something just as great. Mm. So you just have to be okay with that because you can't attain everything because everything is happening at the same time. And yes, I finally got my pick with Mr. Michael Vick. Super nice. You know, it was just, I've never been in a space to meet him. Now, don't get me wrong. Like, he's been at, for instance, kickoff rallies that we have every year at Atlantic Station. But it's between security and fans, it's just been impossible for me to get to him. So I was like, you know what? Let me just meet him in New York. And he was so, and well, I will say too, he commented on my Dirty Birds chain. He was like, I like that chain. I was like, yeah, you know, so Mr. Michael Vick, you know, obviously, you know, a favorite in the Falcons fan base. So now that I've gotten Vick checked off my QB1 list, I really, really want to figure out a way, and I don't know how because he lives in Montana, but my next goal is to meet Steve Barkowski, who was my very first Falcons QB1, and the current QB1, Mr. Michael Penix. So those are my next two, got to meet them, you know, Falcons quarterbacks. So
wow.
Mr. Steve Barkowski, my understanding is he lives in Montana. The last time that I believe he was at the Benz was for the 50th celebration of hip hop games. That was what, 2 years ago, yeah. But I wasn't in a space to meet him. So, you know, I would love to connect with, cause he, again, was my very first Falcons QB1.
Michael Vick had birthday yesterday.
He did.
Yeah, on 26th. Yeah. So happy birthday, Mr. Michael Vick. I can show you something because you see at my wall behind me that I have some signed jerseys. So I waited for the podcast to have not a sneak peek, like to present. Let's say it like this. What is my next jersey? I put here on my wall. So let me proudly present Mr. Michael Vick. So look at here. Yeah, my next jersey is on the wall. Yeah, my next jersey is on the wall, and it's the white one. I love this this white one. Yeah, I have one as well to carry to wear myself. Yeah, but I'm very proud that I have this check too. Michael Vick on my wall. Yeah, you see Jamal Anderson on the right. Yeah. And
bring Jamal to Berlin. We haven't forgotten.
Bring Jamal to Berlin. Hashtag bring Jamal to Berlin. And when you look carefully to the left side, you can see a familiar face.
Mr. Barkowski, number 10.
Mr. Barkowski, let's go. This is my wall on the right side.
Ooh, so, I love it.
You can see Jamal Anderson on the right, Michael Vick, Steve Barkowski, and Mike Keanu Neal, safety, you know, I played myself safety, so I need Jesse Bates and Keanu Neal. These are my two favorites, so this is the other side. It's something like a museum, like now
it's
here.
Amazing.
So
Los Santos.
I will put this place here on the Google map as well, like a museum, so you can come here to check. But you see, for the audience now, you see two crazy Falcons fans. I mean, the one is collecting jerseys, and look at here what you see on New York. Yeah, it was also a sports card.
Yes, I didn't mention that part of it. You know,
yeah.
The sports trading, a sports card piece of sports, that was a big part of this event. People trading and it was amazing to see.
And maybe not everyone is knowing about that, but when you look carefully on this PSA slab, yeah, I think PSA is well known in America, a grading system. Yeah, when you have a raw car, you send it to PSA and they graded it for you. 10 is the best grade. One is the weakest grade. So this is, now you see the logo, this is the very first Atlanta Falcons sports card, the Insignia, made in 1966, when the first set from the Falcons came out. So I get one in PSA 7, Yeah. Put it here in the frame. Yeah. To do it on my wall. So yeah, you have two crazy fans here. The one is collecting this kind of stuff, and the other one is flying to New York to have a picture with Michael Vick.
Yep.
We are crazy.
And done. Yep. But your jersey, your framed jerseys, you know, with the art, that's amazing, Alessandro's. How many do you have now? How many is up there?
8, 9, 10, 11, 12. And there will come more, I can say. I'm not finished. I'm not done yet. And I think I have to think about using the roof, yeah, maybe for the next frames.
I love it. I said in the first episode, you know, just knowing that you've been a passionate fan of the Atlanta Falcons for 3 decades. That's one. Crazy. I mean, it is. Crazy. That's why, you know, the word fan is short for fanatics. Just like how you showed on your cup. We are fanatics about our team. Yeah. So.
Yeah, fanatics is will enter big in the sports card business.
Yes.
Yeah, they try to get over, not to get over, but as I heard, PSA is the number one in the grading system, you can say, and fanatics try now to climb up and be the next big player.
Well, fanatics acquired Tops, right?
Yes.
So where does Tops grade in terms of, you know, the card collecting and trading world? Yeah.
It's very interesting because this one, this card here is made by the Philadelphia Gum Company. The Philadelphia Gum Company was a company like 4 or 5 years. I'm not exactly now. And they covered the NFL teams prior to the merge of the real NFL. Let's call the NFC teams. Yeah. And the Tops covered the AFC teams. And in 1968, Tops take over all the cards. So this is really rare card because it's from a company that doesn't exist anymore. Tops exist, but they don't have the license right now because Panini has the license. So you get cards right now without the logos. And next year, they get the license back. So Tops will enter with license card and hopefully with much more nicer and more beautiful sports cards than Panini did. Yeah, Panini. Yeah, you. Your cards are okay. We less. I'm happy about Tops being back in the business with the license and everything. So, would be nice. Yes. Okay. We talk about collecting. That's another part. Another topic. Let's go to
let's go to that fan
Okay. Go to one fan. You had one one experience. Just tell us about this. I try to find the picture. Do I have the picture here? Maybe not. Oh no, I don't have it. Just tell us.
No. I think that the picture makes the story, so we can just carry that for episode 3. So we'll leave that as a teaser.
I have it. I have it on your Instagram. Do I show it on Instagram?
Oh, I don't care. Sure.
Okay. So tell us about. I will show it.
Okay. I will show it. So I was waiting, you know, to take my photograph with Michael Vick. But before he did the photographs, he did autographs. And so, you know, saw some Saints fans, whatever. I mean, all, you know, fans from all NFL fan bases were at this event, so no big deal. However, she actually, it was her and her, I guess, husband. So it was a family and two kids, you know, all dressed in Saints gear. When I realized that she had gotten Michael Vick's autograph, I was just like, ma'am, because really the line she was in, it was a VIP line, and that VIP line led to Marshawn Lynch and Michael Vick. So I didn't know, you know, who she was there to see. You know, like I said, she's a Saints fan. There weren't any Saints players that were doing autographs. So I didn't, you know, I didn't know what the
label was. For what Saints player? For what? Nobody invited Saints player. I mean, For what reason?
Yeah, okay. Anyway, right. Well, I mean, there were now yeah, but anyway, so the story was, so I was waiting, you know, for to get in line to get my picture. So when I, you know, realized that she had gotten, again, you know, there are different levels of fandom, you know, casual fans, diehard fans. I do recognize that there are fans that collect, you know, NFL memorabilia from different teams. So they kind of put the rivalry stuff aside. But as a Falcons fan, to see a Saints fan not only wait in a line and not only wait in a line, but she paid for this access, it just kind of, and I was laughing the whole time. Like, so no disrespect, you know, to the Saints, but it was more like, if that had been Drew Brees sitting there instead of Michael Vick, I wouldn't have been paying for that. But that's just the kind of fan I am, right? So anyway, as you can see, you know, I said, hey, you got Michael Vick's autograph? She's like, yeah, here, you see? So, you know, I asked, you know, of course, if I could take the photo. And as you can see, she's presenting the photo with Michael Vick's autograph. So that was kind of, you know, and again, I didn't ask her, you know, was she a collector? Was she planning to sell it or keep it for her personal collection? I didn't get into all of that. I was more so amused that here is this Saints fan that's going through this trouble to get the autograph of Michael Vick. Again, because I would not be going through any trouble to get anything from Drew Brees or any other Saints. So that was funny. And then, and I'll end it on this note, I posted this picture. And there's, you know, on social media, they're all kind of, you know, sports groups. So I posted the picture in the NFC South trash talk group. So again, it is a trash talk group. So Tampa, Atlanta, New Orleans, and Carolina fans, right? When I tell you, I don't know if they just had a hard time accepting the truth that this Saints fan paid for Michael Vick's autograph. You know, I was called a liar. I was called,
ChatGPT made this photo.
Just because I took a photo of a Saints fan who went out her way to meet Michael Vick. But yeah, so that actually, I knew that they were going to react a certain way. Because again, to my knowledge, I've never seen a Falcons fan go to this length for anything Saints. So yeah, so some of them are like, they had a lot of choice words for me, but I'm like, don't be mad at me. She the one that did it. You know, you mad at me because I took a picture. And again, you know, it wasn't a situation where I snuck into the picture. No, I asked her, you know, if I could take a photo of her. And you saw she was showing me the thing. But the Saints fans in that group were not happy and not been laughing for the last 5 days. Why am I sideways? I don't know what happened there. I didn't do anything.
The Saints karma.
I don't know what happened.
The Saints karma hit you.
Right, the Saints man.
Okay. We stopped talking about Saints.
Again, I changed nothing on my end. That was bizarre. So the Saints, yeah, that was some Saints energy right there.
Somewhere is watching us here.
Oh, okay.
Just we leave this topic and change the topic for a news that maybe the most will have noticed, but maybe not. There will be a new Netflix serial, not so famous as our Atlanta meets Berlin project episodes as well. Yeah, I mean, it's Netflix. I don't know this company. Yeah, but if you want to see our quarterback, former number one quarterback, Kirk Cousins, again, in a Netflix serial, then you have to use your Netflix Netflix account. Come on, why you don't hear? And watching this new episode 2 about quarterback. This is now a German side, sorry. But it will come back about now the Falcons side. We had 2 years ago Mariota from Atlanta Falcons Insights and Kirk Cousins as well, but more from the Vikings side.
Right.
He was a Viking fan. covering covering all the Achilles tendon surgery.
Talk about carcosis, the surgery.
Yeah, the surgery and the rehab and everything. Yeah. And now he is back, but not as a Vikings quarterback, more than a Falcons quarterback. What do you expect? Or first, do you want to see this this new episode 2 quarterback? Will you sneak in? And when yes, what do you expect to see?
Okay, I'll answer your first question first. Initially, when I, read that Cousins was being featured again in the Netflix series, and what's interesting as a Viking, because when he was on the premiere series, it was Patrick Mahomes, Kirk Cousins, and Marcus Mariota. And the first season, I really like Kirk Cousins, because he was really giving you kind of a behind the scenes look at his recovery, and you show how hard he worked. And he just seemed like a down to earth guy. And of course, his family, wife and kids. When I saw that he was being featured as a Falcons quarterback, I was like, I ain't watching this. I don't care about Kirk Cousins. That was my initial jerk reaction. However, they released the trailer, to show, some of the scenes from the series coming up with him being, the Falcons QB1. And so I've kind of reversed course a bit. And the reason why I have now decided to watch the series, I want to know, if they show what really happened with that 4-game losing skid. Kirk got hurt versus the Saints in week 10. And then we proceeded to go ahead and lose, right? So I want to see how much they show of that time frame of last season. So, because, there's still a lot of speculation, did Kirk attempt to hide the injury? Although, it was pretty obvious a man cannot throw, right? So, how much did Raheem know? Again, who knows how much they're going to show? But I'm going to watch it. As a Falcons fan, even though I'm kind of over Kirk Cousins and how, the season ended and the things that he's done since the season ended, like revealing that he, was injured during the season. But during the season, he never claimed injury at all. He basically said, I've been making bad decisions, but he never claimed injury. So, that didn't sit well with, us as a Falcons fan base. So, yeah. I just want to see what the series reveals. And in that preview or in that trailer, they did have a shot of the Dirty Bird's nest. And, we're waving our flags and we're holding up, Kirk Cousins' fat head. So, I just kind of want to see the overall experience of what they show of Kirk Cousins. So I'll be watching.
This is the main goal for me, seeing outside the project Kirk Cousins, what happens around him. Last year I saw David Bassidy from the front office, and I texted him immediately and said, hey, you are a superstar from Hollywood. I saw you in the Netflix serial, and he was laughing. This is the kind where I will be focused on, because I will tell it. I'm a little bit afraid for myself to see something what I don't want to see, because maybe I lose, how can I explain it now? Maybe I can lose not kind of a respect, but the how I see Kirk Cousins. Beside the negotiations with his contract and the how much money he did, I don't care about this. But how you said he was grounded. How you said ground?
Grounded.
Grounded.
Yeah, he
grounded person. Humble. And I liked him
him on that first series. Yeah.
So
Mahomes was a superstar, we get it, his lifestyle. And then Mariota was just like the fledgling, trying to come back, resurrect his career. Yeah. Kirk was right in the middle. So between those three, I actually like Kirk Cousins. Like, he was my favorite of that series, right? So.
And then he came to Atlanta, and when something in the sportive way, just go the direction you expect. Okay, it's no problem. But I'm a little bit afraid that we have, after week 10, some new information where you have to say, come on, Kirk, this was not a good move.
Right.
And then you don't have no choice, because when the information came out that are maybe a little bit more ugly, then you have to put this check on this thing and said, okay, this was a bad personal move from him.
Right.
And that's why I don't know. I will watch it, of course. But
yeah, I mean, it's again, it's off-season fan content, right? So
as a Falcon fan.
But also, I think we can kind of see also from the fan support that he had in October. We were calling it Kirktober. The man had 509 passing yards against Tampa. And then he proceeded to end up, in November, having more INTs than he did TDs. The man had 9 interceptions and 1 touchdown.
I bought the initial sports card from Panini, numbered of 10 with the record. Yeah, I have it here. You can't see it. Yeah, so how you said, everyone was excited.
Yeah.
And you did with the fans and everything.
Right,
so.
Right. The swag surfing and just the what I want to have answered to really get to your question is, you know, because the prevailing theory or hypothesis is Kurt did not want to reveal the severity of his injury because he knew Michael Penix was sitting behind him. And, you know, there's a thought, because I don't know if you saw, Justin Simmons did an interview with Kate Adams recently. You know, mm-hmm. Justin was only on a 1-year contract, and he's not with us. I'm not sure if he's resigned with someone else. But anyway,
no, it's not.
But I do remember her asking him, you know, his thoughts on Michael Penix. And Kate Adams literally said, when did you see something special in him? And Justin Simmons, without, you know, hesitation, said the third day of training camp. And she even was like, what? You saw it that soon in training camp that Michael Penix had, you know, was something special? He was like, yeah. So if Justin Simmons could see that Penix had something special, certainly Kirk Cousins knew, right? So the prevailing theory is Kirk, you know, really did not want to, even if it was due to injury, lose his position to Penix. And if that's the case, then how self-serving is that? Because it's not about you, Kirk Cousins. This is a team sport. And we were in the run, you know, we were 6-3. You know, we were ahead of the division. Everything is looking good. And then we end up losing the division to Tampa. Even though we swept them, we lost the division and we missed the playoffs. So those are kind of the things that I really want to see if they reveal. I kind of don't know, though, because I feel like it's going to make Kirk Cousins look bad, or potentially even make Coach Raheem Morris look bad, depending on what they show. So I don't know. But also, when I really, you know, kind of got on my feelings and thought about it, I was just like, that's why I have to watch. I have to see what they show. Yes. I just have to see.
Of course. We have to see. And I will see it too. But I will put myself a filter on and try to not to get too much into it, because we will see what happens. Yeah, but
yeah,
it will be interesting. Of course, it will be interesting. Well, okay. I think the most is done now. A quite new part for our episode. We get some questions at our Instagram story. I put this yesterday or the day before on Instagram, asking you, do you have any questions for us? And we had some here from the German side, some questions. I just will answer them now. Thank you for your questions here from the community. Just shortly, reading this in German, and then I try to translate it well. gibt es schon News über Fan-Events vor Ort? Was für Events werden um das Spiel in Berlin stattfinden, sind da schon Sachen geplant. The two different guys are asking if they're planned any events around the game and if we have a knowledge about something coming up here in Berlin. So I don't know what do you know, but I don't have a clue what happens in Berlin 9th November or the day before, the days before. So I can tell you, I don't know. So I don't know if in Atlanta is some rumors or some information. You can tell us right now, Lisa.
Well, I don't have any specific information yet on what will be happening in Berlin, but I can say every time we have an international game, the Falcons do something. So typically they send out a team to scout venue options to where the party, you know, will be held. And then, so I'm sure if they haven't already done it, they will be doing that, you know, because they have to see, you know, they kind of have to estimate the crowd and, you know, location, all that good stuff. So as of right now, no, I haven't heard, but once I do hear, I will certainly share that with y'all. But yeah, but you can, you know, trust me, something will be happening. And it's normally on the Saturday before the game. So that's normally how they've done it in London.
In London, they did Saturday before. And then on Sunday, we had another location, next to Wembley. And then we had this big, big fan march.
Oh, that's right. Oh, I forgot. Yeah. I would love to do the march. Do you guys tailgate or do anything, like, no matter what the sport? Is that something that German...
Tailgate here in Germany? No.
Okay. It would be super cool for us to bring the true, authentic NFL tailgating experience to Berlin.
Bitte, how we learned today. Bitte und danke. Yeah, you can say it in German, Lisa. Bring it to Berlin. The guys already asked about the fan march, and they would love to do it from the Leonardo Hotel.
Yep. I would love to do that. Thank you for reminding me, because I participated in it and forgot about it. But yes.
This was iconic. I tweeted it, the fan march, and this posting exploded right into my hand from the smartphone. It was iconic to be part of this. Very, very nice. And let us do something similar, Mr. Arthur Blank or whoever listen now. I think the whole front office is listening to our podcast, I'm sure. So if you hear this, do something similar. And I can tell you that they already ask or are staying in contact also with me to get some information. But right now, I don't have any idea of what happens and when and whatever. But how you said, there will be something for sure. And don't forget. I mean, the Colts, I know from the Colts communities and the site that they already have planned and are finished, not finished, but run more events and tell the people, because they did know, I don't know, two months earlier.
They were the home team, so they knew a long time ago.
So they already prepared. We don't have so much time, but I can tell you the Falcons are planning something, and this will be a big, big thing. Yep. So be patient. Yeah, we told you last episode. Normally, it's short noticed from the Falcons, but in this case, they will do something. No problem. The second question is, wie sehen die Chancen mit Taxi nach dem Spiel aus? Unser spätester Flug geht 20 Uhr. Someone is asking, how good is the chance to get the flight at 8 p.m. after the game? And now I have to tell you, I don't remember who asking the question, but when you listen to that, find another solution. I mean, book another flight. I mean, the game is starting 3:30, not 2:30. 2:30 was always the time in London. Here in Germany, it was always 1 hour later. 3:30 will start the game. You can expect about 3 hours of the game when you will finish the game in the stadium. So then we're talking about 6:30. In 1 hour and in 90 minutes to come to the airport and to check in, forget it. This is too short. I mean, it's Sunday. There will be not so much on the highway, but how you will come out of the stadium. You have to walk at least 15 to 20 minutes, 25 minutes. I don't know. Where are your luggages? Are you only with hand baggages? I don't know. But this will be very, very short. I would say no good chance. I don't. I wouldn't bet. I wouldn't bet on this.
How far is the airport from the stadium?
Oh yeah, it's far. Let me show you on the map. Let me show you on the map, just to show you how far it is. Look at here. Here, can you see my cursor? Yeah.
Yes, I can.
Here, here's the Olympic Stadium. Mm-hmm. It's far, far, far on the west side. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's in West Berlin. Yeah, to make it clear. Yeah, the most beautiful stadium is in the west part of Berlin. I'm kidding. So, and now you have to go down here, yeah, to the airport. And normally you
not gonna work. Mm-hmm.
You take the highway here all the way down, and this will take you from the stadium at least 45 minutes.
Gotcha.
At least.
Gotcha. At least. Gotcha. Okay. So, good to know.
No chance. No chance.
Yeah, that's just cutting it too close.
I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. It's, or you're leaving after the halftime, but okay.
Yeah, I mean, but who wants to do that? I want to see the whole game. Yeah. And don't let us win. We're going to have a party after we win.
We will win. Okay. We don't have to jinx it. So we're waiting. We're waiting. And then we will cheering and celebrating. Okay, Lisa, I think we've done.
I think we've done.
Yeah, it was a great, great show. Many information. Thank you for all the covering historically too, and all these stories in New York and everything. Thank you for having your time, your lifetime here with me, with us, with all the fans. Hope I see you next time again. We have some ideas, and it will be cool. It will be cool. So stay tuned, and don't forget to follow us. Yeah. Hit this like button. Yeah, go to the description here below and go to the every link you see and hit it and like and follow us. Yeah, it will be cool. So let us finish as always. How Falcons finish something with our very famous phrase: "Rise up,
ATL. Rise up,
Berlin." And goodbye. Have a good time, and see you the next episode, number 3,
coming up.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.